God our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand.
Good morning, you beloved community. Welcome to today's service. We are so glad that you're here. There are several faces among us that I haven't seen in quite some time, and what a joy and honor it is to worship with you again. Our friend Robert is back here today. Robert, who moved to San Antonio and has recently come back. You may remember we blessed you as we sent, and I'm pretty sure I said bless him as he comes back too. So God has taken care of that one for us. Good to see you today. Hope that you get over to see him and a couple of our friends over here who have grown up nice and tall and beautiful, and we're so glad that they're here too. Glad that you're here as well. If you're watching online, now's a great time to get some bread, the cup, the wine, the water, whatever you're using for communion a little bit later in our service. We're here to worship together. There's so much in our world that's going on, and we're stopping, we're slowing down, we're pausing for some time today to encourage one another in faith, and I hope that's what happens this morning. We're going to keep singing. Brent's going to lead us in a few songs in a moment. Cora is going to come and light our candle to remind us that Christ is indeed among us. We'll speak some words of encouragement to one another, read some scripture. We'll end today with a back-to-school blessing, since many of us are going back to school starting tomorrow. So let's do that now, and then I will read our psalm for today. Here's our candle. There's also some cards if you want to fill some of those out. The blue ones letting us know you're here, the yellow ones for encouragement, and the pink ones if there's something on your heart or some needs that you have that you want to share with our shepherds. You can use those and place them in the offering plate a little bit later. Would you stand, please, for our psalm for today? This is Psalm 23. Let's remain standing for the couple of songs that follow, and as Brent says, the Lord's Prayer over us. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He feedeth me the quiet waters by. My soul He doth restore again, and me to walk doth make. within the paths of righteousness, within the path of righteousness, in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark veil, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me and thy rod, for thou art with me and thy rod, then staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, my head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore, and in God's house forevermore, my dwelling place shall be. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. We place you on the highest place, for you are the great high priest. We place you high above all else, and we come to you and worship at your feet. And we come to you and worship at your feet. Let's be seated. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're just joining us, we have been speaking this call to discipleship to one another throughout our series in the Gospel of Mark. We'll do that once again today. I will do the reader part if you will respond with the all. Jesus called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Chelsea will come and read our text for the morning from Mark chapter 6.
Mark 6, 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take almost a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to sit before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000.
Let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. I want to publicly thank both Jessica Vaughn and Clint Boyd for preaching these last two Sundays. Jessica's words about healing versus curing and Clint's call to trust God to provide were good and needed and true. Not only did they give your ears a fresh voice, both stylistically and in cadence, they also gave my typing fingers a respite, a gift to weekly sermon writers, I assure you. Those kind of things we do not take for granted. Where Clint's text left off, ours picks up today. If you recall, Jesus' disciples were set out two by two to preach the kingdom of God, to cast out demons, to smudge olive oil on people's foreheads. They did the exact same things that Jesus himself had been doing. Now the band is back together again with their leader at the center. The apostles gathered around Jesus, Mark tells us. What they want to talk about is all that they had seen and taught, places they went, people they noticed, the shrieking sounds of fleeing evil spirits. They are here to report and testify. Back in college, I had the opportunity to attend two Christian camping conferences with some adult mentors of mine, along with a few other students, once in Vancouver, Canada, once in Colorado. Each evening during the conference, after the closing keynote, we would meet up in a living room and debrief about our day. Breakout classes we had attended, speakers we listened to, connections we had made, how to apply what we had heard to the work in our summer camp world. We talked about what resonated to us, nudgings from the Spirit we felt. We laughed as we told stories. We took notes on topics that we should further explore. We ate Oreos dipped in ice-cold milk. Tired as we were from full days, still, this nightly hour to process aloud with a small, trusted group, even for an introvert like me, taught me the blessed value of shared experiences within community. The apostles, after being sent out, meet to debrief. How did it go? What did you see? What'd you learn? Anybody get some food from an unlikely source? Anybody have to shake dust off their feet? Tired as they are from full days, there's excitement in the air. You did that? Me too. Jesus, the one that they have gathered around, has his ears attuned to what his disciples are saying and what they are not saying. He listens in. After their successful progress reports, Jesus does not start praising them for their effectiveness, not that we know of at least. Nor does he pull out a map of Israel and start planning the next go-round. Peter and Philip, you pair up and go north. John and Thomas, you go east. James, you are going with Judas, and how about you carry the cash this time? Jesus doesn't do that. What does he do? He calls a timeout. He is strongly aware that what his disciples need next, what he needs next, is a breather. It could be that they are exhibiting the classic symptoms of overachieving stick-to-itiveness, and without a break, he knows that they will burn out. It could also be because the people of the community kept butting in during their meeting. So many, in fact, that Jesus and the disciples don't even have a chance to eat. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest, he tells them. He understands the importance of stopping, slowing down, walking away from ministry. Jesus is especially keen to do these things, especially in the Gospel of Mark, because he knows firsthand that the mission work will forever find you. The poor will always be among you. The needs of healing and hope will never, ever end. The invitation is not for those 12 apostles alone, of course, nor is it just for professional ministers or Christians who have all their stuff together. It's for each one of us. It's for me. It's for you. It's for the doers and the dreamers, the doubters and the diligent, the retired and the salaried, the lazy and the overly occupied, the young with no time to spare, and the old with a different kind of time altogether. Put your phone down and head to your closet. Get outside and put your hands in the dirt or your feet in the sand. Open your journal and draw with your eyes closed but your mind open. Change into your wrestling gear and get ready to face the angel who will not back down for anything. Watch your child ride their bike and sense a presence over them greater than your own. String a hammock between two trees. Sit in your office, shut the door, and hum the first hymn that enters into your heart. Find your psalm. Make some prayer beads. Receive God's blessing that has been there all along. Come away with me. Jesus says, get to a quiet place. Let my voice tell you who you are. Your grand successes, your grand failures, your anxieties, even the countless troubles of the world, none of these define you. They are not your identity. Only when you rest, body, mind, spirit, can you rest in the truth that you are known, that you are held, that you are not alone. This is one of the three tenets of faith for this congregation. It flanks our sides every time we walk into this room. In solitude, you can read. In solitude, you are known and loved by God. I've asked Andrea and Brent to sing over us the song, The Love of God, to let our ears hear it a different way. So let me invite them forward as they sing the song over us.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song.
When hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hill and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Thank you both. Into a boat, Jesus and the 12 go, and they sail away for a lonelier place. But his hopes for a weekend retreat go awry when, lo and behold, a crowd has flocked to the spot, beating them there. News travels amazingly fast in these parts of the world. Instead of turning the boat around and finding another spot, Jesus parks at the dock and gets out. His plans for rest being interrupted, what I want him to say is, "Shops closed, folks. Move along now. Come back on Monday." I once had a colleague of mine that put up a sign in the office with a quote that said, "The interruptions are the work." I have tried to become friends with that quote over the years since unplanned interruptions frequent my days, but I confess to you that even slight intrusions can annoy or, worse, frustrate me. When my planned designs for the day alter or shift, especially if people are involved, I am learning to believe what C.S. Lewis once wrote. The truth is that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life, the life God is sending day by day. That is what is happening here. One's real life, a plethora of needs waiting on the coastline. When Jesus looks not at the crowd, but into the crowd, right into their eyes, he has compassion on them. If you attended Vacation Bible School just a few weeks ago, then you know that we talked about compassion as a smushing together of two words, loving and kindness, to make one word, loving kindness. Loving kindness happens when tenderness and action meet. Jesus' deep inward loving kindness for these people cannot be restrained. He cannot help it. They are like sheep, after all, who have no shepherd. They are aimless, wandering. They're hungry. They take priority over himself. The masses ashore are surely here for the miracles, more healings, more demon extractions, but that is not what Jesus will offer this time around. His loving kindness, his compassion, comes out of him in preaching, in teaching about the kingdom of God. Mark's gospel has been very clear from the beginning that this is why Jesus has come. He's come to preach. You know the remainder of the story very well. Jesus and his sermon get on a roll, preaching long until finally, some of his disciples come up to him and say, "Excuse me, sir, but we are a long way out in the country and it's very late. Pronounce your benediction and send these folks off so that they can get their supper." Jesus responds, perhaps inconsiderately, "You feed them." It's a command, not a suggestion. And it surprises the disciples. They balk at the ridiculous order. With what? They want to know. We'd have to work for months to earn enough money to pay for all the food we're going to have to get. "Well, what do you have?" Jesus fires back. "How much bread? Go find out." A quick inventory reveals just 5 small loaves of bread and 2 little fish. Maybe that's all the disciples have in their own picnic baskets. Maybe it's the meager offering the tight-fisted individuals in the large crowd is willing to fork over. Either way, Jesus makes it work, doesn't he? Like the good shepherd from Psalm 23, Jesus leads the sheep people to sit down on green grass, where he will feed them. His compassionate teaching becomes a compassionate feeding. Takes what everyone else deems as insufficient, a snack really. He lifts his face to heaven in prayer, then blesses, breaks, and gives the bread back to his disciples. The disciples in turn give it to the people, and somehow, by grace and by generosity, the food does not run out. By the meal's end, all are satisfied. Bellies are full, at least 5,000 of them. Since cleanup duty always seems to fall on the ones who already do most of the work, the 12 disciples each grab a basket and pick up the surplus, of which there is plenty. I don't know too many people who can handle disruptions the graceful, generous way that Jesus does. If we were to sit in a circle and debrief about the times interruptions threw us off kilter, we would be here all day. Interruptions come in many forms, of course. They could be as insignificant as remembering you forgot to get more coffee at the store last night. And now it's 7 a.m. with nothing brewing, and it's going to be a rough day as a result. For some of you, that's a really big issue, and you take offense at me for calling it insignificant. I hear you. Interruptions are found in flat tires and weather reports and family systems and employment responsibilities and church budgets. And who can ignore the interruptions that become intrusions and even chaos? Haiti's earthquaked thousands, Afghanistan's unsettled hundreds of thousands, Delta's ugly reared head toward millions and billions. Shaken every which way, it's near impossible to be still with so much fear, so many questions, so much work to be done. Maybe then it's best to hear our story today, not from Jesus' perspective or even the disciples, but from the crowds. What have they done? They've tracked Jesus down, looking for answers, for help, for hope in their innumerable interruptions. Frantic and adrift, though on land, they seek him out in quest of a miracle. They break up his vacation with their poverty of spirit and their hazy futures. Jesus, who in incarnation identifies himself as one of them, has tender compassion on them. He sees them. He loves them. He gives them something they did not know they needed. They receive something they did not plan on getting. His teaching, his words, his life, his presence. In the midst of all the turbulences they feel, they have shown up, not even fully knowing why. And if that's all that they can do, then perhaps that's enough for now. Jesus blesses whatever is offered. Selves, snacks, sardines, scraps. He uses what in all accounts and purposes is insignificant to feed the hungry. He lifts his face to heaven and blessedly turns scarcity into abundance. He picks up whatever is left over so that nothing goes to waste. There is more work yet to be done. Later in Jesus' life, his broken body on the cross will become the bread that feeds and nourishes a famished creation. Jesus, now as then, never seems annoyed by our interruptions of him. Confused and unglued though we ourselves may feel, he recognizes our need for a shepherd who will never droop with compassion fatigue, who will see us, look right into our eyes, and lead us to green grass, and like a priest, joyfully place a bit of bread onto the tips of our salivating tongues. Sometimes that happens in a crowd like this one here today. Sometimes it happens in solitude, which you can get into a rhythm of doing if you have not done so already. It's not too late for that. Jesus' purposeful feeding not only reminds us who we are, it also gives us clarity as a church on what we're to be about. Rather than staring wide-eyed at the feasting miracle, Jesus' compassion over us calls us to turn out our own pockets and give what we have. The bread we find there isn't mine. It isn't yours. It's our bread, according to the Lord's Prayer. Crumbs, though it may seem, a few bills, a few cans of food, an aging building, our very lives, still, we give it, trusting Jesus to say, "This is enough to begin with." Thanks be to God. And together, my friends, we say or we type, Amen. Let's stand as we worship together.
In our world of sorrow, bring your life again. Guide us as we follow, teach us as we pray. Give us strength to borrow, to return in praise. Light for our tomorrow, God who comes to save. Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, giver of our brokenness. God who comes to save, wrapped in human weakness, to our world you came, carrying our sickness, suffering our shame, dying for our wickedness, rising up again. Victor over darkness, God who comes to save. Jesus, hope of heaven for us, your life was given, healer of our brokenness, God who comes to save. God who comes to save.
Please be seated. The disciples, the apostles, gathered around Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. Our sister Peggy asked to share a testimony report about things that she has seen and taught, and so we want to honor her today by giving our ears at this point. Let's do that. Come on up, Peggy.
First, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. I give honor to the pastor, to his beautiful wife, to the family of the church. I thank God for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. I'm a little nervous, so kind of bad. But I thank God, you know, for some people want to know. I want to tell it because God been good to me, you know. Like I said, I'm a little nervous, so kind of bear with me. I went to the hospital in April the 13th of 2021, this year. And when I went in there, I went in there because I was mentally disoriented, and I didn't know which clue to go to. I was just going through a lot. And before I went in, I thought I was just going through a lot, and I didn't know which way to go, and I was bound to kill myself. But I remember the EAP at my job, you know, they told us if we ever needed somebody to talk to, then just call that number. It's a good hotline, like a crisis hotline to us from the job. And they gave us the number, and I called her, and the lady, she said, I'm gonna hold on to you, so I called 911. So they called 911. And from then on, I went to the Methodist Hospital, the psych ward, I'm not ashamed to say. And when I went there, you know, you see a lot of things, but I thank God because I had the wisdom, God blessed me to just lead me on in there, you know. I'm trying to make it as short as possible, but when I went there, probably the day later, because there was not a lot of beds to go, but I went there and, you know, the time I went there, you see a lot of people there, you probably think they're okay. You know, what's the matter with them? Why they're in here? Why am I in here? I don't understand what's going on. But then, when I went there, you know, I said, well, ma'am, I really need my meds adjusted because I'm going not so well right now. And the Lord blessed me to stay there for about 2 weeks. I really didn't want to come out because that was my safe haven. And I thank God for him adjusting my meds. When I came out, I went into another place. And I, you know, like I said, you yet see a lot of things and you see people and you'd be like, why are you here? You look so fine, you're okay. And they also told me the same thing. They say, but Miss Sampson, why are you here? You ain't nothing wrong with you. And I said, I thank God for saying that, but I'm here just to get my meds adjusted. I'm here to be better than where I came out of. I would always pray at night. I would always ask the Lord for help. And every night they have the Wednesday night Bible prayer. And I say, well, man, sometimes when I go to the prayer, I'm like, I don't feel like praying, you know, but Brother Larry, Sister Martha, his beautiful wife, Sister Ruth, Sister Mercy, and Brother Jesse, they would always be on that prayer line, and they say, well, you know, sometimes my meds, whenever I was taking the meds, they'll get me too tired, and they understood me. And see, this is a good church because they understand where you're coming from. They're not so, well, you got to hurry up, or, oh, you're too late, oh, you're not that late. But God bless me. I know I'm kind of going on different subjects, but I just want to thank God for him just leading me to where I am right now. Because if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't know where I'd be. My mind would be all messed up, and I just want to praise God for where I am and for the people who love me here. Because if it wasn't for your prayers, because they told me, they say, well, Sister Peggy, we prayed for you. You know, you stayed on our mind and everything. And I said, thank you. And I said, well, I don't understand. You know, I'm like, well, first I was like, why they want to pray for me, you know? But then you think about it, because there are more churches out here in Houston and all around the world that people don't pray for you. You know, they'll just say, well, that's another person on the roll, you know what I'm saying? But these people, they pray for you and they keep you going, you know? And I thank God for it, and I appreciate all the prayers, and it's just not, now it's my time to pray for somebody else. You know, I get on Facebook sometime, and you see people that has COVID, you know? You see people that have mental disabilities, and you see a lot of things on Facebook, but I praise the Lord that I'm here. My mind is set free. I give praise to God because without him, I wouldn't be here. And I praise God for just everybody here, and I thank God for God himself, because I just want to give God his props and his praise and glory. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Peggy. Thank you. We rejoice with you in the ways that God has not only healed you, but is continuing to heal you. What a gift that you have shared with us today, and we rejoice in those same things. Here's the great things. The way that God has fed Peggy, you've probably noticed that most Sundays she's going to come up here and help feed this church, right? What a gift that is. Someone who is being fed will in turn feed others, which is what we get to do as a congregation. Right now, we get to eat this bread together that, Peggy, you're going to serve today, right? It's good. We get to eat this bread. We get to drink this cup together as one body. Jesus, in our story today, he takes just a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish. He directs people to sit down. He takes the loaves and the two fish and looks up to heaven. And what does he do? He gives thanks for it and breaks it. He gives it to his disciples and passes it around. We get to share in that kind of Eucharistic moment right now. What a gift. So let's pray together. If one of you want to join Peggy and myself as we share the bread and the cup, we'd love to have maybe one more person to come and do that. Let's pray, please, and then we'll eat and drink together. For the reports and testimonies that you were disciples like Peggy give, we give you thanks, O God, for the ways that you feed us, for the ways that you sustain us, for the ways that you call us to whatever's next. We give you thanks for Peggy's life. We also give you thanks now for bread and juice, simple as they are, and yet we trust that you will multiply them in ways that you see fit, however your Spirit does that. Our trust is in you this morning. It's through Christ we pray and do all things.
Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of praise. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see his face, and we all will surrender their crown. whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy.
We also have the opportunity to give as we ourselves have been given. Right now we give financially. We give our offerings, our tithes, our contributions to the work God is doing in our congregation and in our neighborhood. So we have both Jessica and Glenn here who are going to walk around after I pray with the offering tray. So let's pray together and then we'll share a couple family matters with you. We give you thanks, O God, for the ability to give, for the ability to give bread, to give money, to give food. By your Spirit, by your grace, we pray that you would take these gifts and ask that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. We started talking last week about Sunny Glen Children's Home. Their big truck is coming through in just a couple weeks to pick up items from different congregations here in town. They have asked from our congregation specifically toilet paper, napkins, floor cleaners, and cereal. The big old barrel is out in the lobby. You can place any of these items that you pick up at the store in there, and we'll make sure that gets to the right place. Hope that you can stay for some Bible classes today. We have them for all ages. We have pre-K, preschool, and early elementary in the nursery. We have elementary class with Martha. King and I will be with our teenagers upstairs. We have three adult classes that you can choose to be a part of. We'd love for your fellowship, your presence in these places as well. All right. Well, every year around this time, we have our annual back-to-school blessing and commissioning for all our students and school employees. We bless you with an embodied word of God to you as we commission you and send you out with the love of God as God has loved you. Some of our school friends have already begun, and HISD starts up tomorrow morning. We want to bless you in the wildness of whatever school may look like for you this upcoming year. So as I begin, I would like, first of all, to invite those of you who are students to please stand up right where you are. Our students are those who are pre-K to high school, those of you who are in college, graduate school, medical school, obtaining GED. Those of you, like my wife, are laboring through trying to get their doctorate. All right. Just stand up right where you are. That's just fine. If you are a teacher, a school employee, a professor, an administrator, a crossing guard, if you used to be a volunteer in public schools or private schools before the pandemic began, if you are retired from working in schools, you can stand up too, please. If you are watching on Facebook Live, feel free to add some of these names. If it's your own, that's great. If it's people that you know and love, you can type those in. Even if they don't live in Houston, that's okay. Parents, we are especially thinking of you too during this time. As a parent of a young one myself, I know the challenges ahead. We're praying for you during this time. I ask you to stand as well. If you are not standing and you love deeply any one of these people who are standing, you can stand too. If that didn't get you up on your feet, if you ever went to any kind of schooling in your entire life, you may get up onto your feet. We'll get everyone. If you are watching online, you are welcome, my friends, to stand up on your feet, either in as your physical self or in spirit. Both of those ways are just fine. You look good. You look good. Our blessing and commissioning this morning will come in the form of prayers from me and responses from you. Whenever I finish praying a section, would you please respond with, Lord God, hold us and our prayers. You'll know it's your turn to go when I do something like this, okay? We're going to practice. Whenever I finish praying a section, would you please respond with? You got it. So let's pray together, please. Steady and comforting God, with you, every transition and new start is a reminder of your goodness, for you are always creating in us and through us. We are grateful for the opportunity to learn and grow in schools, knowing it is one of the biggest privileges that we have. With thanks and love and with trepidation and anxiousness, we now offer everything we are to you, asking for your blessing. We pray for our students of all ages, abilities, and backgrounds. We give you all our loves and fears. We pray for their hearts and all they hold, excitement and nervousness, disappointment and hope. We pray for steadiness and deepening resilience. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their minds, that they will expand in wonder and in celebration, learning not just from books they've studied, but from the people beside them. Open their minds in unexpected ways and settle their thought loops in peaceful places. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their hands, that they will reach out with welcome and care. Bless their hands with patience and dedication as they grip pencils and type on keyboards, swish paintbrushes and clap along in song, grip monkey bars and lunchbox handles as they eat in classrooms or in large gyms separated from one another. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their mouths, that they will speak words of life and connection. Help them use their mouths to honor you and the belovedness of others. Remind them to open their mouths for deep belly breaths whenever they are feeling worried or afraid. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their feet, blessing their steps down hallways and sidewalks. Plant their feet next to those who feel alone and who need a friend. We know that you are with them wherever their feet go or stay. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their eyes, that they may see themselves and others with compassion. Grow them with the flexibility to see from all sorts of angles. Bless what and how they see, whether they're looking at a screen or a whiteboard or a person's face. Help them to see with their most important eyes, the eyes of the Holy Spirit, which richly dwells within them. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. We pray for their ears. When things get noisy, help them listen extra carefully for your voice. Help them hear with their most important ears, the ears of the Holy Spirit, which dwells richly within them. Loving God, hold us in our prayers. We pray for our parents too. As the start of a new school year, there is always another leap of faith. Wrap our parents with your reassuring love as they entrust their children to you. When questions remain unanswered and the realm of control beyond their own, bless them with peace and with the promise that you are right there with their child. Loving God, hold us in our prayers. Two more. We also pray now for teachers, staff, and administrators. Bless these faithful servants with courage and confidence, knowing that you are in their classrooms and offices with your steady and strong hand. Give them peace, patience, and balance in the pressures they face as they serve with their whole selves, your children. Give them delight in the young ones before them and the recognition of the sweet ways students are also teachers. Loving God, hold us and our prayers. Last one, we pray for health and wholeness, fun and growth, surprise and amazement for this school year ahead, knowing that you, God, will hold each one of us all the way through. It's because of Christ we pray and do all things, and together we say or we type, Amen. Go in peace.
with us.